You ever feel like the Lord just shows up and shows out sometimes? I tell you what, tonight's one of those nights. I had a sermon prepared. Is what David wanted to do. Come to find out, it wasn't what God wanted to do. So early today, I started rewriting. You know, God's word will not return void. So I'm just going to turn it over to Him. May God have the glory. And all I can say is just hold on, tighten up your seatbelt, and let's roll with it.
All right.
Tonight's message is called Hold On to God's Word. Hold on to God's Word. We're going to be reading from Luke 8. We're going to be reading verses 22 through 25. Luke 8, verse 22, let me back up here. If you're in this book, this Bible right here, it's on page 66. If you're in this Bible right here, it's on page 71. If you're in your own Bible, I don't have a clue. So here we go. Verse 22, it says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? He commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." We're looking at holding on to God's word tonight. I want you to notice the first thing that took place was he went into a ship with his disciples. He was with them from the very start. See, the ship represents your life and your destination and the course of your life. And one songwriter put it this way. He said, "The soul of a man is like a ship that sails on a sea of time." See, when Jesus entered the ship, he changed the course. He gave them a purpose and he gave them a destination. And I want you to know tonight that there's anybody here that remembers when Jesus got into your ship. Is there anybody here that remembers when he changed your course? You were lost. You were drifting. You were bound. You were on your way to the devil's hell, but one day you found your way to an old-fashioned altar and Captain Jesus came aboard. See, he washed you in his blood. He delivered you. He put a spirit in you and his anointing on you. And he gave you a purpose and he gave you a destination. See, as soon as Jesus entered the ship, he gave them a word. That word was prophetic. That word carried the spirit of destiny in it. See, that word said, "You're going somewhere." Has anybody got a word that you're going somewhere? Has anybody got a word that has pointed you toward something greater than what you have? Has anybody got a word that stirs your faith, wakes you up in the morning, and carries you through the day? I can already feel there's going to be an anointing on this place tonight. Tell your neighbor, "I've got a word." See, they got a word of destiny that assured them of His presence with them. And somebody said, I heard a word, but I couldn't find God in it. Well, I'm going to tell you something here tonight, that when God gives you a word, it carries His presence. I didn't say it would always make you happy. I didn't say it'd make you feel good, but I said it will always carry His presence. Moses said, if Your presence go not with us, then do not take us from this place. He knew about God's presence. His presence and His Word go together. See, I don't care how religious it sounds or how appealing it is to your flesh and your desires. The first thing you better ask yourself is, does it carry His presence? See, because the Word that carries His presence has the power to carry you and to keep you through the tough times of life. Amen. See, they got a Word of purpose that assured them of their destination. That Word made them unsinkable. I didn't say the Word guarantees you that you'll have an easy life and you'll never go through a tough storm. I said the Word would carry you through the storm. The Word will hold you up. The Word will make you unsinkable. I wouldn't be here today if it hadn't been for the Word of the Lord. The enemy would have killed me, but I had a Word. Debt would have sunk me, but I had a Word. And family and turmoil and strife would have capsized my vessel, but I had a Word. Attacks on my integrity and my character would have drowned me in a sea of despair, but I had a Word. See, depression and fear and anxiety would have swallowed me up, but I had a Word. I'm telling you to hold on to Your Word tonight. Your Word makes you fireproof. It makes you invincible. It makes you unsinkable. Isaiah 43:2 said, when thou pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, and they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle. The devil says, you're going to die. The doctor's report says incurable. He says it's terminal. But the Word of God says, I shall not die, and declare the works of the Lord in Psalms 118:17. See, the Word of God says, but He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we are healed.
Amen. Yes, we are.
Isaiah 53:5. Let me tell you, there's victory in God's Word. The devil says your ministry is over. Might as well throw in the towel. But the Word of God says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? The devil says, you'll never see those children saved. You're just wasting your time praying for them. They're never going to serve the Lord. But the Word of God says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. Acts 11:14 says, Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? So here were the disciples of Jesus sailing in the power of their Word. And then as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep and there came down a storm. And it was a whirlwind. It was a tempestuous storm. It had violent wind. It was a violent attack. Literally, it was as though they had a bullseye on them, a tracking device. A LoJack was tracking them down. Said it was launched against them to destroy them and to sink them. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like there was a bullseye on you?
Yeah.
On your back, and like the devil singled you out, and he's concentrating extra measures on you and extra opposition and extra weapons on you. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like the devil's called out the little rascals and he's put the big dogs after you? Yeah. The answer is yes. You ought to be shouting and praising God. right now, because the devil wouldn't be concentrating so much effort on you, so much energy and all of his resources if you weren't a threat to him. Right. The devil heard your word too. He knows you're on your way to something. Let me tell you, when you read your Bible, you read it aloud because the devil needs to hear it. He needs to know where your stance is. He needs to know that you have taken a firm foundation and you're not going to move. And he's not going to sink you. That's what keeps me moving. I know I'm on the way to something. I'm not going through this storm for nothing. I'm not going through this hell for nothing. I'm not walking through this valley of the shadow of death for nothing. I'm going through because I'm going to. Amen, amen, and amen.
That's right.
See, the fight isn't about who you are today or where you are today. The fight is about your word. The fight is about your destiny. The fight is about where you're going and what you're getting ready to do. The greatest storm of your life means you're closer to your destiny than you've ever been. And you're on the edge of the greatest breakthrough of your life. Let me tell you, Joseph's brothers, they wanted him dead. Not just because he was their father's favorite, but because he had a dream and he had a word, a destiny and a future. And as long as you ain't got nothing and you don't want nothing and you have no dreams and you have no visions or passions, no aspirations to go anywhere or do anything, then chances are you got a lot of friends with you. Problem is, they're all in the same sinking boat with you. But as soon as you start dreaming of a better tomorrow and you start prophesying your destiny and it's bigger than your friends can see, it's bigger than they can handle, they'll try to discourage you and talk you out of your destiny. And if you won't sell out and if you won't forfeit your dreams and settle back into a life of weakness and religious expectation, then you'll become a threat to them. And they'll turn on you and try to destroy you. And you need to examine your friendship circle. Everybody can't go where God has taken you. You need friends that believe in you and what God is doing in you and in your life. See, people are either winds in your sails or they're weights around your necks, according to Rod Parsley. See, these disciples were moving their word, sailing in the spirit of destiny and purpose, and they were attacked. Believe me, if you've ever set out to do anything for God, and if you've ever get bold enough to launch into a new world and work out and walk out your destiny, you're going to be attacked, my friend. You'll be attacked physically and spiritually and financially and emotionally, and there'll be attacks against your marriage, against your ministry, attacks against your mind. Why? Because you are dangerous. You're a threat to hell. Your dreams make you dangerous. Your word makes you dangerous. See, we must understand that. And when we come to grips with that now, and we realize that our words make us a target for the enemy and puts us in line of his fire. But here's the part that makes it really hard, even for the most spiritual, most anointed, and most mature believer. In verse 23, it said, Jesus fell asleep. Have you ever felt like God did this great thing in your life? Stirred you up? Gave you the greatest powerful word of destiny, and then he just went to sleep and forgot all about you? He just laid there and let the devil beat up on you. Let people lie on you and cheat on you and persecute you and criticize you and steal from you and ignore you and overlook you and undermine you. Come on, I'm trying to talk to some people here tonight in this house. I want to talk to some people that would just tell the truth. See, just because you're called doesn't mean you won't ever have any troubles. Just because you're anointed doesn't mean that you'll not be lied on. It doesn't mean that God is going to wrap you in cotton balls so you never get your feelings hurt. In fact, the more anointed you are and the more destiny you embrace and the more focused you become on fulfilling your purpose, the greater threat you are to hell and the greater the attacks against you will be. Joseph was anointed. Joseph was favored by God. And repeatedly the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. Well, if the Lord was with Joseph, why didn't God stop his brothers from stripping him of his coat and tossing him in a pit? Why didn't God stop Potiphar's lust-filled wife from lying on Joseph and destroying his character and his integrity in the eyes of Potiphar and his whole house? Why did God let the butler forget Joseph for two full long years after Joseph interpreted his dreams and it came to pass? See, was God on vacation? Was God asleep? I want you to listen closely. You see, it was all part of making Joseph the kind of man that God could trust with the dream he gave him. See, from the day God gave Joseph the dream never changed. But the dreamer went through a process of stripping and refining to bring him to the place where he was qualified to live that dream. God has had Joseph in a process of refining. Tell your neighbor, I'm in a process. See, I know tonight that God never sleeps. In Psalms 121:4 it says, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." I know God never sleeps, but I promise you that there will be times in your life when it feels like God is in such a deep slumber that nothing can wake him up. You got to tell your neighbor, I'm just in a process. God is refining me right now. See, some of you I'm talking to right now felt like God just went to sleep and let the devil have his way with you. And I tell you the truth, it looks to you like and feels to you like you're farther away from God's Word than ever before. But I come to tell you here tonight that God is not asleep. He has not forgotten you, and His eyes are on the sparrow. His eyes are on you every minute of the day. He's been watching you all through the process. He's been in charge of the temperature. Let me tell you that He holds the remote control, and the only channels are God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
See, He's been controlling the speed of the wheel. Y'all come on in, grab a seat. We're in Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. I appreciate y'all coming out here tonight. I'm here to tell you tonight that He is still in control of the wheel. He saw that storm coming before it ever got to you. And he filtered it through His hands with love. And He predetermined that this storm was not going to kill you. He predetermined that the storm was not going to sink in. He predetermined that the storm was not going to destroy your ministry. Before you ever entered the battle, He predetermined that you had everything you needed to conquer, and you had everything you needed to carry you over and to put you on top. Now, how could Jesus sleep through the same storm that threw the disciples into hysteria? See, the answer is, He believed the word that He spoke. You see, He knew the word came out of His mouth, had the power to take them through anything. See, He knew that His word could not come back void, but it would accomplish that which He pleased. And He knew the origin of the Word. He had already grasped onto God, the Father's Word. I know I have some people here tonight that believe the word. You're going through a storm in your life and your finances, but hold on to your word. You're going through the greatest fire in your life, in your health. So hold on to your word. You're fighting for your children. They seem farther away than ever before. But hold on to your word. You see, you've been tired in your ministry and your character and your reputation and your integrity is being attacked. But hold on to your word. The Bible says they woke up Jesus. In other words, they went back to the Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. In John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I don't care what the enemy is doing today or trying to do. It doesn't matter what the storm or the test or the trial is. It doesn't matter how hot the fire is, how tall the flames are, how deep the water is. The answer's still the same. Hold on to God's Word. Get back into God's Word and stay there. Your Word will get you through it. God is not a man that should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said it, shall He not do it? Hath He spoken it, shall He not make it good? Numbers 23:19. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away. In Psalms 119:89, it says, Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Get back in the Word. 1 Timothy 1:18 says, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to this prophecy, which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. I want you to chew on that for a minute. Mm-hmm. You got to take that word that we've been reading and you got to turn it into a weapon. Look, God didn't give you that word to sit on, to hold it. You don't have to guard it from nobody. You're not protecting it. The word's protecting you. It's no good if you don't use it.
Right.
You got to take that word and make it a weapon. God didn't give it to you to be a soft pillow for your head. He gave it to you to fight with. He knew the enemy would attack you, and He knew the enemy would oppose you, and He gave you the word to go to war with. Somebody I'm talking to right now, you've got a word about expanding your ministry, but the devil telling you that it can never happen in this economy. Somebody else, you've got a word about a new house, but you almost forfeit your promise because the economy and your financial situation. Somebody else, you got a word that God is going to save your husband and save those children and deliver them off drugs and alcohol, but they look further away than ever before and you're almost giving up. I'm talking to somebody in ministry. You've carried a dream of ministry in your spirit for years, and you fought to hold on to it, but to tell the truth, you're just tired and you're on the verge of just letting it go. Came to tell you to hold on to God's Word. God is not a liar. He doesn't give us a word to frustrate it. He gives us a word to motivate us and to encourage us and strengthen us in battle. Gives us a weapon to fight and discourage Satan from casting doubt and weariness on us. I'm here to tell you tonight that you're a soldier of God. Pick up your weapon and pick up your word. Bible says their boat was filled with water. That means doubt and worry and anxiety and stress and all negative circumstances that surround you are trying to drown you. It's trying to drown your faith and to steal God's Word from you. See, that's what the devil's after. He wants to throw all he can at you to steal God's Word from you. See, that's where the power is. If you go out here and you try to live in this world, you better have something. And the only thing that'll see you through is God's Word, His power. You better hold tight to it. The devil's telling you today that it's hopeless. Enemies are telling you that it's hopeless. But I came to tell you to hold on to God's Word. If God spoke it, God will bring it to pass. If God spoke to you about bringing that godly husband into your life, then shop for the wedding dress. God spoke to you about a new house, then start looking at the plans and start picking out furniture. God spoke to you about writing a book, then buy some paper and a typewriter. Mm-hmm. Do they still use typewriters?
Yeah, but it's pretty rare though.
God spoke to you about going to other countries, then pack your bags, buy your visa, and expect them to meet you there. God said He's going to save your family. Quit calling them heathens and acting like they're unreachable. Do your words speak faith in God to overcome the situation or doubt through condemnation and circumstances? And when you speak to your family, to others, are you lifting them up or are you tearing them down? If God hasn't given up on them, why have you? Hold on to God's Word. And speak faith and life and love over them. Bible says in Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Hold on to it with all your might. The devil wants to steal your faith in the Word of God. Now you see, as soon as Jesus wakes up, He says, where's your faith? Let me tell you, the battle is not about those around you. The battle's about you. You got to remember that you're in a process. You're in a refinement. God's working on you. I don't believe there's a person in here that's made it, that's fully completed. He's got the full stamp of approval. But you can. He says to work towards righteousness. You can have a guarantee of salvation. That's offered. That's a free gift. Don't turn it away. I don't know what storms you may have went through or you're going through right now, but I'm telling you to hold on to God's Word. The boat may be destroyed and the economy may be at an all-time low. Gas prices might be $10 a gallon and bread might be $20 a loaf, and the government may go bankrupt, but your Word will deliver you. Your Word will sustain you and your Word will carry you through the other side. Let me tell you, my faith is not in my boat, in my church, in my job, in the economy, in the government. My faith is in God's Word. I've got a God said it attitude. You ever gotten yourself a God said it attitude? You got a God said it attitude, it gets you to the other side. When you have that, it makes you unsinkable. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it.
Amen.
It's as good as done. He hath begun a good work in you and will finish it until the day of Christ. See, when you need to, what you need to do right now is to get your eyes off the storm and get them back on the Word. Begin to praise God and praise Him because He told the truth. Praise Him like it's already done. Praise Him like you're already out of debt. Praise Him like you've already written that book and enjoying the blessings from it. Praise Him like you already moved into that house and you're touching the walls and the furniture and you're smelling the fresh smell of the carpet. Praise Him like your ministry is already international. You may be a pastor of 12, but you got an internal vision of international capabilities. Don't let this world tell you anything other. You can do all things through what? Praise Him like that family is already saved. Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. Praise Him like they're standing beside you with their hands raised, tears streaming down their face and glorifying God. Do I have some people here that know how to praise God? You just got to get your eyes off the problem. Get them back on the promise. I don't care what's happening in your life right now. I'm telling you to hold on to God's Word. But let me tell you this. You can't hold on to what you don't have. So I guess we ought to start with step one. Do you have Him? Do you know you're saved? How effective do you think a gun is if you can't hold it, if you can't touch it, if it hadn't been explained to you how to use it, if you hadn't fired it? How effective do you think it would be? God's Word will not return void. But you've got to open it up. You've got to read therein. And you've got to apply it to practical application in your lives. The Word will not let you down. Only Satan will let you down. I don't know if everybody here tonight is saved. I have no way of knowing. And those that may be listening to this CD when it comes out, I don't know what state you're in. But I know that there's hope. I know there's a God that offers salvation, and it's a free gift. I know that we came into this world with sin on us. It says, for all have sinned to fall short of the glory of God. And we know that that sin causes separation between our fellowship with God. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So if I ask you, how in the world do I get this salvation? How do I get this free gift? It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me tell you, you have to confess it. You have to come clean about it and get it all out there in the front. Or it won't go away. You can't sneak it past God. It's hard to walk through a house with muddy feet and not get the carpets messed up. You got to come clean. And the way to do that is confessing your sins to God. He said He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. One of Satan's greatest weapons is for good people to sit around and do nothing. I see our churches filled with it sometimes. But it says, as soon as you repent and turn from your sins, you will receive mercy and forgiveness. As soon as you confess with your mouth. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. He transforms us, not for our glory, but for His. John 14, 6 says, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one way, my friends. You confess your sins. He cleanses you. You accept that free gift. And He transforms you. But you know what? There's another part. And it's this. It's what happens after that transformation. At the moment of conversion, He gives you a spiritual gift. At least one. Maybe several, never all of them, but at least one spiritual gift. And that's a gift that was designed for you. It won't work for this one or for that one. It works strictly for you. It's your gift. And it's His plan for your life. For you to work through that gift for His perfect will. And let me tell you, when you get in that perfect will, there is nothing, nothing that will make you any more happier. Amen. There's nothing that will bring you any more peace. You'll be more alert. You'll be more assertive. There will be nothing that can stop you from doing what God's will is for you in your life when you're working with His perfect will and through your spiritual gift. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to close with a prayer of salvation. Y'all write this down. This is the quickest sermon I've ever done. Watch it now. Let's. This is prayer salvation. We pray out loud. It's to encourage the person beside you. If you've prayed this 1,000 times, it won't make a bit of difference. But if this is the first time you've done it, and you mean it, then it's a brand new day for you. It's a brand new life. You'll leave here totally different than you came in. Totally different. So let's pray. Dear God, I know that Jesus is your Son, and that He died on the cross for my sin. And that He was raised from the dead. I also know that I have sinned. And I'm now asking for forgiveness. I'm willing to turn from my sins and receive Jesus as my Savior and Master over me. Help me to be the kind of Christian that You want me to be. And thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.